Maybe you're looking to grow in Christ. Maybe you're looking to know if God does really exist. Well, you've come to the right place as we go to God's Word for answers for life. Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon is coming up next. Join us. Welcome to today's edition of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden. Each day we come to you with just a few minutes of time to spend in God's Word that we might grow in grace, that we might find ourselves encouraged in our walk with Christ. And for those who are seeking to know if God really does exist, well, the answers again are found right here in God's Word. Won't you join us for this edition of Abounding Grace? Here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, we're thankful you've tuned in for another week of Abounding Grace. We have an exciting week planned for you as we review a new book that is recently put out called Christless Christianity, the Alternative Gospel of the American Church. The author is Michael Horton. This is published by Baker Books, 2008, and I would encourage you to pick up this book as we will be reviewing it this week and looking at some of the major claims and statements in this book and interacting with them a bit as we seek to understand and unravel the current climate in the American church, the trends and the fads of things that are happening, so that we would be discerning in our own churches and to discern whether we are experiencing these things and how we can seek to have a Christ-centered church where Christ is proclaimed, the gospel is heralded, and sinners are being converted and changed and brought out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Well, Horton begins in chapter 1, The American Captivity of the Church. He starts with this. What would things look like if Satan really took control of a city? Over a half a century ago, Presbyterian minister Donald Gray Barnhouse offered his own scenario in his weekly sermon that was also broadcast nationwide on CBS radio. Barnhouse speculated that if Satan took over Philadelphia, all the bars would be closed, pornography banished, and pristine streets would be filled with tidy pedestrians who smiled at each other. There would be no swearing. The children would say yes, sir, and no, ma'am. And the churches would be full every Sunday where Christ is not preached. Boy, that's a striking scenario. That's something we never think about. Horton goes on to say, whatever I'm outlining here this week, I'm outlining right out of Horton's book. But today, the whole focus is everything is measured by our own happiness rather than God's holiness. And that's a very important claim right out of the gates, is that what is the motivation? What are we doing when we come before the presence of this God? Is it about us, or is it about a holy God who has called us to be before him so that he might wash us with his gospel? So that's the great issue, the great question that comes to the forefront really of Horton's book here in the first chapter is, what is our need? You can only answer that by, what is our greatest problem? Well, if our only problem is that we've been derailed along the way and we've lost our way some way, we just need sort of motivational talk, proper instructions, he says, a life coach who can help us get back on track. I mean, that's sort of the great presupposition today, is that people have sort of lost their way. They're not really achieving and being all that they could be. And so everything then is reoriented and focused upon how we can be made a better person. That's what Horton says on page 17, where he says the regular diet in many churches across America today is do more and try harder. Well, that pretty much sums it up, doesn't it? He says the focus on the conversation is on us. If we've just lost our way, all we need is a better instruction to become a better person. Jesus becomes in this scenario a life coach and not a redeemer. Why is all this happening is the great question. Why all this focus? Why all this shift where, if you just listen to the sermons of years ago, there was a focus on sin and a crushing preaching of the law so that sinners would be lifted up by the power of the gospel. What has happened? Well, Horton makes the claim that on page 16, he says, I think that the church in America today is so obsessed with being practical, relevant, helpful, successful, and perhaps even well-liked that it nearly mirrors the world itself. Of course, the Lord made it very clear in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 that we are to come out and be separate. There's to be something separate in what we're doing when we gather as a church, in our worship, in what we preach, in what we do. But today, the message seems to be so tied together and sounds so much like the world's techniques for success that really we're saying very little, as Horton says, that the world could not hear from Dr. Phil, Dr. Laura, and Oprah. Boy, that is just the case. Even the sacraments today, you know, today the sacraments have been devalued, that's sort of a dirty word, but sacraments were the Lord's means of grace to us. They are the Lord's means of grace to us, where he is nourishing us in the Lord's Supper and feeding our souls by his great work. Today, even the sacraments are reinterpreted to be means of our commitment to God. Instead of God doing something for us in his grace, it's all reinterpreted to what we do for God. So that's been the whole focus even of worship, where all songs today are focused on I songs, I-centered. The first half of worship is all about what Martin Lloyd-Jones calls emotional rape, to sort of get people in the mood for worship, controlling the circumstances. And Horton goes on to say in page 19, my concern is that we're getting dangerously close to the place in everyday American church life where the Bible is mined for relevant quotes, but is largely irrelevant on its own terms. God is used as a personal resource rather than known, worshiped, and trusted. Jesus Christ is a coach with a good game plan for our victory rather than a Savior who's already achieved it for us. Salvation is more a matter of having our best life now than being saved from God's judgment by God himself. And the Holy Spirit is an electrical outlet we can plug in for the power we need to be all that we can be. Are you hearing preaching like this? It's so utterly common today that I don't know that we're even discerning anymore as to what preaching should be, as to what worship is, and to what we're doing when we come to church and when we come to worship. Horton makes the case that he believes our doctrine today, and years ago, you know, he'd walk into a church, the minister would open the Bible, he would expound a position, expound the scriptures itself, highlight the major teaching, the major doctrine that is given there for the instruction, the encouragement for God's people. Today, doctrine is, Horton says, forgotten, assumed, ignored, even mishapped and distorted by the habits and rituals of daily life in a narcissistic culture. Everything is really trivialized, isn't it? It's sentimentalized. All sort of seriousness is lost. And that's one of the great claims here that Horton makes, is what we've really become in the American church is silly. We're doing so many silly things, there's nothing really that is taken serious anymore about the nature of the fact that we serve and we have come into the presence of a holy God, who's demanded that anyone who stands before his presence has to have a perfect and complete righteousness, and those who do not believe in this Christ are going to a place eternally where the worm does not die, a place of hell called hell. Jesus spoke of this great judgment to come sometimes three times more than his love. Where the gospel is not taken for granted, says Horton, it's often a means to an end, like personal or social transformation, love and service to our neighbors, and other things that in themselves are marvelous effects of the gospel. However, the good news concerning Christ, now listen to this, my friends, the good news concerning Christ is not a stepping stone to something greater and more relevant. Whether we realize it or not, there is nothing in the universe more relevant to us as guilty image bearers of God than the news that he has found a way to be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. You hear what he said? What is more relevant than the news that Christ assumed our flesh, came here to this earth, kept the law perfectly, went to the cross so that we might have a righteousness that can stand the scrutiny of God's ultimate justice? There's nothing more relevant than that. There's nothing more important than that. We never sort of get beyond that. And yet the church today is treated as if that's all assumed. People understand that. Now they need to get to something really practical, really relevant. And gospel preaching is thrown out the door. And so what's happening here? Who decides what we need, right? I mean, that's the great question. Who decides what we need? Do we know what we really need as sinners? Or does God tell us what we need in the gospel? Does he announce the great news to us? Well, of course he does. But when the focus becomes, now listen to this, what would Jesus do? And you know, years ago, even today, people were wearing all these WWJD bracelets, and they were selling these in the Christian stores. Everything was WWJD. What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? When the focus becomes, what would Jesus do instead of what has Jesus done, the labels no longer matter. That's exactly right. When that becomes the question, what would he do? Then the focus becomes on what should we do instead of what should propel us and drive us. What has Christ accomplished already for me? Our power is in him, not in us, to make these sort of changes. And so Horton is raising these great concerns and these great issues in this first chapter of Christless Christianity, that we might think about what is the great need today? What do we need to do? We need to be, as Christians, those who come to hear and receive this gospel proclaimed. This is lost today. The gospel preached. Remember what Paul said to the church in Corinth? For I did not come to you, brethren, with smoothness of speech, he says. I did not come to you using the popular words and wisdoms of this culture. I came among you knowing nothing but Jesus Christ and him crucified. You see, Paul was making the case to the church in Corinth that it's the foolishness of this message preached through that the world sees as foolishness that God chooses to save. So then, we're never really going to be relevant and practical and reaching to the world with a message they think foolishness. God's concerned about us faithfully tending to this great calling, and he will apply that. He will draw. He will affect it in the world his way, as sinners are made to come to an end of themselves when they see their sin, when they see their need for a Savior, and as Christ is proclaimed in all of his power and of all of his glory, as he is shown from all of Scripture, sinners then bow the knee and begin to say, not unto us, O Lord of heaven, but unto you be glory given.
Well, that's all the time we have today. This has been Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden. Our goal in bringing you Abounding Grace each and every day is that you would grow and abound in grace through the study and the teaching and preaching of God's Word.
Well, I interrupt this closing here to give you an invite to our 2009 Pacific Northwest Reformation Conference here at the Linden United Reformed Church on October 9 and 10. Please don't miss this conference. I will be speaking, and we have the privilege of having Dr. W. Robert Godfrey of Westminster Seminary. If you've never heard Robert Godfrey speak, you've got to get over here and hear him speak. Christ-centered Christianity, picking up on what we've just heard about the warning of Christless Christianity, well, let's look at what Christ-centered Christianity is. And he will be speaking on Christ at the center of the church and worship and salvation, and I will deal with the issue of preaching. The conference is free of charge. Contact us, 360-318-0429, or you can go to our website at lindenurc.com. Again, don't miss this opportunity, as we have the this great privilege of bringing this subject to the surrounding community. Well, now, thanks again for tuning in today.
We thank you for joining us today, and until next time, God bless.